This podcast contains mature content and is not suitable for all audiences.
Oh, yeah.
Sex!
The sex pod.
Baby!
Hi.
We're in the same room.
I know. This is really cool.
This is so fun. Welcome to the Sex Pod.
I'm Cece, and I use they, them.
And I'm Nina, and I'm Sheer.
And I'm
Sheer. I'm Sheer. Okay. I'm Sheer.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like your dingly danglies.
Thank you. Those are earrings. We're in an Airbnb with three dogs, so dingly dangling can mean something very
different.
That's
true. There's a lot of dingly danglies
happening with our poodles.
Uh-huh.
Kyle got me six pairs of earrings for my birthday that are all rainbow for me to wear while I'm recording. So check out the Instagram.
God, I don't wear earrings and I want to wear those.
You have yours.
I mean, I have like gauges.
Yeah. What number is that?
A zero.
The lowest gauge you can be?
No, it goes even more.
What's the lowest gauge you
can be? It gets like weird because there's like fractions and there's math involved when you.
Because like my zero, nose is double an 18, zero. Is an 18 gauge.
Mm-hmm. So it's like 5/8.
Yeah.
Mm. I just like maybe would go a size bigger, but I don't want to fuck with it.
How long have you had them like that in your ears?
Probably close to like 13 years.
You could go a size bigger.
You think where? How did you come to this conclusion?
Because your piercings are healed. I mean, yes, gaze. What about gauges and
my
piercings?
Gazing.
Gauges and piercings might be different. So I can't speak to gauges, but I know that when you get a hollow needle piercing, like what I have in my nose, my ears, within the first year, you're healed, and so you can like change jewelry and then start moving things around.
At what point does it, like? Like, what if one day I'm like, I'm not feeling the gauge vibe?
Then you take them out and you'll be wrinkly and like have a wrinkly hole in your ear just until you don't. Some people, when they have really big gauges, they have to get it sewn, their ear hole sewn back.
That's what I'm avoiding. But also, I kind of just think that maybe I'll have gauges even until like my late age.
I'm planning to have all my piercings in my body till I die.
I don't fucking, like, why should I take them out?
Would you get an earring that shows the inside? Like, because right now it just kind of looks like you're wearing like just thick.
A plug. It's a plug.
Right.
Like that
they
shows
it. They are a little sparkly though.
They are a little bit. Actually, I was married with these in. I would. This is kind of gross. This might gross people out. And I'm sorry for that. And also not sorry. But when I was like heavy into art and I was just hanging out in my art room drawing, I'd sometimes just for fun.
I'm really nervous.
Hold my pencils.
That's not weird.
Oh, okay, good. It just felt like a really convenient place.
Yeah.
You know, you put it behind the ear. I just put mine in my ear.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, do other people do that? If you have gauges?
Can you stick things in your holes?
Please, please let me know because I feel alone right now. So I'd have like a pen going on in one, a pencil in the other.
A tampon in a third.
Yes.
Ready to go.
I couldn't hear very well.
That was your ear canal.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, welcome to the fucking sex pod.
Yeah, we're in Iowa.
Woo! Iowa. Nina, tell people about Iowa. What have you experienced so far?
We've been here for less than 24 hours, and there's a lot of poop in the backyard from what I know are bunnies. But everyone yesterday thought they were black beans.
I mean, they look like black beans, and it's
and everyone's like, "There's black beans in piles in the backyard." Are people like, "Is there a séance happening? Like, is it witchcraft?" And I'm like, "No, it's poop."
Yeah, I feel like it's a very frequent thing for people to have séances with black beans. It felt like a very rational conclusion that we were drawn to.
Yeah, no, that's for sure poop.
It
has that fresh squeezed out of the butt look.
Mm-hmm.
From a bunny. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't that close to it, so I'm going to trust that experience.
Yeah, we were all picking it up. So.
Yeah.
So. How's Iowa been for you?
It's been a lot like South Dakota.
Okay.
Just open, gray skies, wintery vibes, you know?
I just realized that the listeners, this is their second week in a row hearing that we're in Iowa, because last week they heard that we were in Iowa, because we recorded a couple episodes. We're still here. So we met in halfway, kind of. So from Michigan and South Dakota, we were like Cedar Rapids, Iowa, an Airbnb that allows 3 dogs and 4 humans.
So kind.
And our dogs have been really loving each other. We'll talk about this also. We have talked about this in the last episode. So you're just hearing the same thing over and over again now.
We like to do that. Yeah.
That's where we are in life right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. That's exactly where we're at.
Love it.
You know where else we're at?
What?
Is a quickie.
Fuck yeah.
And Nina, if I am remembering correctly, because sometimes I can't because we're recording multiple episodes at one and mm-hmm. once and I don't know what the fuck's going on. Mm-hmm. You prepared mm-hmm. something a little special for us today based off of a very special listener's, a Fooker, if you will, a Fooker's suggestion mm-hmm. and question.
Mm-hmm. We got a listener question.
Would you like to tell these people, our Fookers, what to expect?
Yes. So we got a listener question to our email at tsp.podcast@protonmail.com. And I did a little research on this so I could share it with you. Dang. And then we can kind of chat through it.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So we got a listener question to our email. And the question was, why is a guy's sexual peak 18 to 20 years old, but a woman's is 40-ish years old? So I just want to start it off by saying that right off the bat, we're using really binary language today.
Yes.
We're looking at old data, men and women. So we've got 2 sexes, 2 genders here. So know that when we're referring to men, we're referring to penises, penis owners, and women are vagina owners. We actively don't speak like this in our lives. And today mm-hmm. we will. Right off the bat, I'd also like to cite my sources. The information that we're covering today are from 2 different authors, and the sources will be in our notes and a medical study, which will also be in the show notes. Let's start with what is a sexual peak or a sexual prime? So it's a time in a person's life when you're having the most sex or the highest quality of sex. And let's also remember with research, everything that is data that's collected with research like this mm-hmm. is self-disclosure. It's not you go to the doctor, you get blood work, and you have a number that you get put on a chart, and that's the absolute truth. It's asking people for their truth.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So this is all info from self-disclosure. So, the implication of a sexual peak or sexual prime is that it's kind of the very top of your sex life. So the sex before this time or the sex after this time is not kind of measuring up. Biologically, there is no sexual peak or sexual prime there with clear evidence. There's no clear evidence of that. And there's also like no real definition of it because there's no biological evidence to back it up.
Well, what's a peak? Like how do you define a peak? Like, the apex?
A climax, if you will.
Oh.
So studies have shown that there are people that have satisfying sex throughout their entire lives. And as we've talked about this before as well, sometimes sex can change. So if there's a physical capability or hormone difference, mental and emotional states of mind, sex can change in that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the satisfaction of the sex is lowered. Mm. It's just a change.
So question really quick before we move on. Do you think that perhaps what we call a sexual peak is actually like when data shows supposedly that we're sexually mature or like primed to procreate?
I think yes and no.
Okay.
And we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay.
Okay. So this leads us into kind of a myth unintentionally started by Alfred Kinsey.
Alfred.
Let's take another step back. Who was Alfred Kinsey? He was an American sexologist, biologist, and professor of entomology and zoology. In 1947, he founded the Institute for Sex Research at Indiana University, also known as the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction.
Whoa.
So you may have heard of the Kinsey scale, which kind of started as what was called the heterosexual homosexual rating scale. It's used in research to describe a person's sexual orientation based on one's experience or response at that given time, which means it can be fluid and can change throughout life.
What?
And the scale typically ranges from 0, meaning exclusively heterosexual, to 6, meaning exclusively homosexual. So Kinsey was a sexologist. His research was in the 1950s, which you really want to keep in mind the timing that this research came out. Again, self-disclosed research in the 1950s. He asked many questions of people from different age groups. And the original question was, what is the maximum number of orgasms you have in a given week?
Wow.
Okay. He received a variety of answers and found that 18-year-old men and 35-year-old women were having the most orgasms the most frequently. There doesn't seem to be any follow-up data. So after he asked this question, there was no data asking about why these people were having more orgasms or what mode or method or their marital status or their sexual history. So what the data doesn't tell us and what we can kind of assume essentially is that 18-year-olds are masturbating all the time.
Oh.
18-year-old men are masturbating all the time. And in the 50s, 35-year-old women tend to be married or in long-term relationships that are probably in a comfortable, familiar relationship with security, which we know can greatly and positively affect the ability to orgasm.
Interesting.
So then we've taken this fact and ran with it and not really looked beyond the original numbers from the data and haven't asked follow-up questions. So there's been this like societal notion that men peak as teenagers, so they're horny teenagers, and women have to wait to get into their 30s to finally have good sex.
Which would like be a really interesting disparity. Like, why would that be? Like,
if it were true.
Right. If it were true.
Right. We've talked about psychologist David Schnarch before.
Schnarch?
Right? Yes. CC has brought up Dr. Schnarch.
Who passed away in 2020, I found out.
Oh, right.
Let's take a moment. All right.
We're bringing him back up today. So this is in one of Dr. Schnarch's books, Passionate Marriage. He discusses that there are two sexual peaks, which might be coming back around to your original question about sexual maturity. So the first one's during youth. It's called, quote, genital prime, unquote. It's described as biological, driven by our hormones. Related to youth and fertility. And the second peak is called, quote, sexual prime, unquote, which is, and I'm going to give a quote here because it was a little too long here to not give this direct quote. Sexual prime is social, driven by our spirits, maturity, and sexual experience. The house we're in might be haunted, by the way.
So that's
we'll
a thing.
Talk about that.
For real.
I think we talked about that in the last episode, too. Dr. Schnarch also discusses that many people may not experience the sexual prime or the sexual peak due to insecurities and personal fears. So maybe we need to get out of our heads a little bit when it comes to sex and having orgasms, but I'm not going to go too much into that theory that he has there.
Okay.
That was kind of his theory about the peaks and the primes.
Right.
Another thing I want to add here is that we need to keep in mind the use of hormone replacement therapy, which is also known as HRT. Mm-hmm. It can create a different experience for people who are using it. We think, you know, of HRT when it comes to menopause, transitions, post-cancer, and HRT is also really known to shake things up when it comes to libido. And since it's a more regulated dose of hormones, there's less fluctuation in your levels.
Mm-hmm. Which we will actually be talking about in a future episode as well.
Yeah.
From a listener question.
Another listener question that we're going to get to. Yep. So what I took away from this, of this question of why are the peaks different, is that there are sexual peaks and sexual primes that can happen at any age. And it kind of seems like it's just when we are sexiest to ourselves and when we're also able to access an abundance of achieving orgasms and pleasure. It also seems like maybe we have to debunk a myth about sexual primes and sexual peaks. It also seems like maybe we should be debunking a myth that is from almost 70-year-old data that we didn't get the whole story on.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want us to consider that STI data shows us that people in retirement homes and of retirement age are having a lot of sex. And that's something for us to think about too. Why are we not considering if there is a sexual peak or prime that it's at that age of life?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ask those questions in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. We didn't follow up with, let's go to a nursing home and see who's having sex.
No, because the weird assumption was that like people beyond a certain age weren't having sex or being intimate.
Well, they're not having children, so they don't need to.
Well, isn't that interesting? Just for people that are listening, sex doesn't have to only correlate to procreation. Right? Like, that doesn't have to be a thing. It can be if you want. That's wonderful for you. But you can have sex because you enjoy having sex or exploring your body or somebody else's body. And you can do that at whatever appropriate age you want.
If you're 79, you can have sex still. I mean, if your doctor tells you not to, don't.
But if you're 69,
you should have more sex.
You could. Yeah. You could have sex.
You should have a lot of sex at 69. That's a good year to have sex.
That's a great year to have sex.
So is 77.
Yeah. Hey.
So yeah. I hope that answers our listener question of the different peaks between men at 18 and women at 35. It kind of is debunking a myth. It's just kind of debunking a myth that's out there that we're perpetuating.
So here's the thing. In the language that we use around this topic, it can be kind of nebulous and nuanced and all that stuff. So If this answered your question, listener, awesome. And if you still have more questions on top of this, feel free to email us.
Email us back.
tsp.podcast@protonmail.com.
Beautiful.
And the Instagram is at the sex pod.
The underscore sex pod.
I hate that underscore.
I know. But we couldn't do it. The sex pod was already taken.
I know.
But seriously, if we didn't answer your question, let us know. Because like, we want to know if we didn't answer your question.
And maybe you're wondering about fertility. And if that's the case, we can talk about that too. Because that can vary a little bit as well. But I think it's just really important. Like, this idea of peaks is so, it misses the mark, right? Because peaks can be so dependent upon our comfortability as a person, our exposure to things like sexuality and intimacy, our upbringing around, like, is it okay to express yourself at 18? Is it not? So peaks can fluctuate. And if you feel like upon reflecting in your life, when has your peak been? Have you had your peak yet? Are you interested in having a quote unquote peak, right? And what would that mean for you to enjoy that for yourself and to like really step into the prime of your intimacy and embodiment?
Do you think you've had a peak?
Ooh, I think I've had one peak.
One peak.
My life, I'm hoping that I have multiple peaks, right? Where like maybe sometimes we're in valleys and life is happening and we're doing adult stuff and we aren't as focused on that for whatever reason. And you find yourself in each other again and you have another peak. I don't feel like we just have to have one.
Mm-hmm. What I want to say, I think is a really good follow-up. I think I have like an annual peak. I think there's like a couple weeks to months of the year that like it is good. It is regular. Mm-hmm. It is often, it is whatever the word is of a peak. And then it goes back to normal. Not and bad.
That's
just normal.
Okay. Yes, that is absolutely okay. What's important is like, do you feel good and satisfied about where you're at in terms of intimacy and sexuality? If the answer is, I would like more.
I'll just put on my hat and scarf and walk outside. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
This is what happens when we're recording with other people around us.
Distractions.
Sorry.
It's okay. When we are going through life, what's important is that we feel good about what we're experiencing. And if the answer is, I really wish that I could like be on top of that peak mountain, cool. Then ask yourself, like, what do we feel like we're missing? How could I achieve that? What would that look like to even be at the top of that? Is it realistic? Because sometimes we set these really lofty goals based off of myths. Does it feel right to you? Are you feeling satisfied and healthy mm-hmm. and happy about it?
Mm-hmm.
So.
When you're saying setting lofty goals for ourselves, I don't do New Year's resolutions, mm-mm. but I did decide that the year of 2023, I'll have no less than 365 orgasms.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have one a day.
I'm trying to do one a day.
Okay.
There are days that I haven't, so I've had mm-hmm. to make up for lost time.
I love that for you.
I made up for pre-lost time for this weekend because I wasn't sure if I was going to get, I just don't know. It's hard when you're traveling and we're with people. And like in this Airbnb that we're in, the beds are really small. So we're all sleeping in different beds. So like no partner is partnered up at night. I guess I don't need a partner. Most of these have not been partnered at this point because, you know,
yeah,
I'm a busy girl. I got to get my stuff done in the morning.
Yeah.
And
you could also enjoy a peak with yourself. It doesn't have
absolutely.
To involve somebody else.
Absolutely. So my goal. So ask me on December 31st of 2023 at the end of the year.
Deal.
I'm recording the numbers so I can see how many I've had at the end of the year.
I love that for you.
It's just a fun little experiment I'm doing with myself.
Also, I don't want to like burst your bubble or your cherry.
okay.
That's a resolution.
Is but it a resolution or is it a lifestyle change?
I mean, tomato, tomato. Clitoris, clitoris.
Yes!
We knew this!
Fuck yeah!
Oh, that felt good.
That felt good. I could feel it. I could feel it.
Oh, for everybody in the back, tomato, tomato, clitoris, clitoris.
We've been wanting to use that in a natural way for over a year. And we said, when we're going to do it, it can't be forced.
Mm-mm.
It can't be forced.
No. So proud. That feels good. There was like a tension there.
Yeah.
It was
like an orgasm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're going to go take a nap.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to our quickie today.
We love you.
Bye.
We would love to hear your stories, thoughts, feedback, and questions. Please submit them to tsp.podcast@protonmail.com. All submissions are anonymous and identifying characteristics will be altered to protect confidentiality. Today's episode has been produced and mixed by Nina and Cece, the music created by Kile, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram @the_sexpod. Share, like, and follow.